Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning with me. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. You know, I know that many of us that are here this morning, you know why we celebrate this day called Resurrection Sunday. Some people call it Easter. And then there are others that are here this morning, those that are listening live as well. They're not so sure why we're here and the things that we're doing and why there's such a joy in our heart. Because, see, we know that have believed in Christ, we know that Jesus really is alive. Amen? Yes, and he is seated at the right hand of God right this very minute, and I am so thankful, and you're so thankful for it, but there are some, they're not really sure. You know, that they still believe the old hoaxes, you know, all those man-made, theories or whatever they are. That, did you know that the man-made theories about Jesus didn't rise from the dead and all that, do you know that that goes all the way back to the day of his resurrection? Yeah, study out the Gospels and you'll find that the guards, the Roman soldiers that guarded the tomb, there the angel scared them to death. You know, the tomb was rolled away and they ran into the chief priest and they reported saying, oh man, this is what's happened and his body is not there. And so here comes the first hoax in Christianity about the resurrection. They said to those soldiers after giving them a large sum of money, if anyone says anything, you tell them that the body of Jesus, that the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus away. Now, can I tell you that's a hoax? Can you imagine? I mean, at that time, there were only the 11 apostles. Judas had already committed suicide. Can you imagine 11 people dying for something that wasn't true? Can you imagine 11 people being, can you imagine the church being in unity over anything like that? Come on. No, loved one, no, Jesus, he did rise from the dead. And there are other ones. Let me give a couple of them to you before I get into this morning's message. There's the wrong tomb theory. Now, that's a good one. There's the vision theory. I always say, every time I say this, every Easter, I always say, yeah, that's where they hallucinated, you know. And I always say, no, that wasn't the 60s. That was the first century, you know. And then there's the mistaken identity. Okay. But the one I love the most is the swoon theory. Now, that's where Jesus, on the cross, you know, he didn't actually die. He just blacked out. In other words, he just kind of fainted. And I always use the same old story. You're probably used to it by now. But I love what J. Vernon McGee said about the swoon theory. Let me read it to you. He says, our pastor, this woman writes him and says, of course, J. Vernon is in heaven now. He says, this lady says, you know, our pastor said that on Easter, Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? McGee replied, dear sister, here's what I want you to do. I want you to beat your pastor with a leather whip, 39 heavy strokes on his back, and make sure it's filled with bone and lead and glass. He said, then I want you to take your pastor and nail him to a cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, and it was 100 pounds of ointment, remember that? It says, embalm him and put him in an airless tomb for 3 days and see what happens. Don't do that to me. You know, no, listen, the resurrection, you know it and I know it. You that are born from above, we know that the resurrection is indeed the cornerstone of Christianity. And without the resurrection, without Jesus rising from the dead, loved one, there is no such thing as Christianity. Do you understand? There's no such thing as eternal life. There is no such thing as a forgiveness of sins. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, Paul the apostle in 1 Corinthians said this in chapter 15, we are of most men most pitiable. We, out of all the people in all the planet, we should be the most pitied of anyone. Here we are gathered all of our lives, all of our days, believing in someone who did not rise from the dead. Singing songs and writing poetry and all the rest of it to someone who didn't rise from the dead. Someone who said, and it means the Bible is a lie. It means that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. It means that Jesus wasn't the sinless, spotless son of the living God. It means that the Bible would be a lie from cover to cover. But Paul says in Corinthians, he says, but now Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. See, we know it. You know it. That's why you are born from above. Listen, Jesus on the cross, Jesus coming forth to life again, he was broken for you. Say that word, broken. It's a very important word this morning. As we turn together, I pray that we're nearly in John. Let me turn there myself. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. But we know now Passover, of course, 3 days have now passed. You know, all the darkness of that day is behind us, Good Friday, as we call it today. The earthquakes and the suffering, the horrible Roman soldiers, the beating, all the things that happened. Jesus is in the tomb, and we know what happened today. He rose from the dead. So, with all that being said, as we look at John, chapter 20, quickly, this morning, then I want to talk to you about a few things concerning the resurrection. Remember that Good Friday is forever over. Amen? There are not any more sacrifices for sin. There was only one. And by that one sacrifice, now we who have believed in him have obtained, by God's grace, eternal redemption. Amen? So now that we look, see, Resurrection Sunday, loved one, is not about death. It's about life. So as we turn to that first Easter service, that first Sunday, let's look in John 20, verse 1. And now on the first day of the week, now that's Sunday, of course, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she went early, and while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran, came to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, well, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. Now, that we would be, of course, Mary and all the rest of them that were together, the ladies. Now, we know that Mary Magdalene, we know the story very well. It's very familiar to every believer. We know that Mary is in shock. She's coming. Matthew's gospel says that Mary came to see the tomb. She didn't come to see Jesus. She probably brought the spices and all the stuff to finish the anointing of the body and prepare it. No, listen, she wasn't looking for a living Savior. She was looking for a dead man that she loved. Don't let us never be critical of this great woman of faith, because she still had great faith. She believed in Jesus, amen? She loved the Lord Jesus, but she loved him and thought him dead. She wasn't expecting to see Jesus at all. Now, look what happens. And then here he goes, and then Peter therefore went out. She went to get them and all that, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, and they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter, come to the tomb first. He's stooping down, looking in. He saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him. He went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief or the face cloth, remember, that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Now, let me just say something about this verse. Now, remember, one of the in the Bible, in Matthew's gospel, is the chief priest and all of them paid the soldiers money. Just say that the disciples came and they stole the body of Jesus away. If thieves did that, can you? I mean, I have never met a thief that broke into a home or much less a tomb and folded everything nice and neatly before he left. Do you understand? No, that shouts resurrection, loved one. But more than that, people say, well, you know, there's that, you know, the linen cloth and the handkerchief, the face cloth, all those things, they're folded together and they're in a place by itself. In other words, Jesus just came right through all that, didn't he? You know, let me say this. Jesus doesn't need grave clothes. He's living. He's not dead. Amen? You know, if when we die, they dress you all up and try to make you look pretty. You know, I don't want that stuff on me. Amen? No. He says, and then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, he went in and he saw also, and he saw and believed. Now, that's John, okay? and said, for yet he did not know the scripture or literally understand the scripture that he must, meaning Jesus, must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now watch carefully. But Mary Magdalene, she stood outside the tomb and her heart is broken. It's unrestrained weeping. That's what that word weep means. Her heart is crushed and broken, and she wept, and she stooped down, and she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said, meaning the angels, both of them said to Mary, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. Mary, you know, when I read this, why is it that there is only one person now left at the tomb? One. Everybody else is scattered. They're all gone, all the other women, but not Mary Magdalene. Very, very important, loved one. I mean, there she is. She's weeping alone. Only Mary. Even the angels. I mean, if an angel spoke to me, I would go, something's, I mean, you understand. It didn't even faze her. She wasn't even interested, you know, in her at all. See, not once, evidently, in the mind of Mary did she believe that Jesus was alive, nor did she ever expect to see a living Jesus again. Mary loved the Lord. Mary had great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 14. And now when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't recognize him, didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, now this is the second time, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking? So she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, would you tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. All that mattered to Mary was to retrieve the body of Jesus. And there's many reasons why, but the number one reason is she wanted to make sure that her Savior wasn't thrown out into the trash dump like they did with so many people back then. She wanted to make sure that he received the burial that he should have. But whenever Jesus heard those words, you know, where is he? If you'll just tell me, I'm going to take him away. I think that probably broke the heart of our Lord. And she said, and Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is my teacher or my master. And Jesus said to her, oh, Mary, do not cling to me. He said, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. In other words, I'm not going yet. Stop detaining me. Just quit holding me. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father, to your Father, to my God, and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had these things. And she spoke these things from her. Now, she went to the disciples. We know the story from the other Gospels. They didn't believe her at all. Now listen carefully. Mary Magdalene, this woman, I mean, you know, if you study her, just about her, this incredible woman, I wish I had more information because we don't. We know that she's listed in all four of the Gospels. We find her when Jesus is on the cross, she's at the foot of the cross. Whenever Jesus is being buried in the tomb, Mary Magdalene is there at the tomb as well. And here we find her, this woman, Mary Magdalene, who is actually the first to come to the empty tomb. She's also the first to hear the voice of Jesus. She's the first to see the risen Savior alive. And she's the first to touch the risen Savior. And she's also the first to be commissioned by him, go tell my brethren. Man, but there's one more important point, because I want to talk about Mary Magdalene this morning. There's one more thing that we don't want to look over about this woman called Mary Magdalene. Do you know the first person on planet Earth that Jesus Christ appeared to after the resurrection was not Pilate, wasn't Caesar? He didn't have a huge audience of kings. He didn't call the Sanhedrin. Amen? I mean, think about that. I mean, he didn't even call a Republican or a Democrat. You know what I'm saying? No. And what this should really blow you away. Not even James, Peter, James, and John. They weren't there. Oh, they stooped in. John believed. But he didn't linger. They all went back to their homes. Now listen very carefully. The first person was a woman. And you said, well, Bill, now why is that important? Well, he who hath ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Amen. For we know nothing about this woman called Mary Magdalene on this Resurrection Sunday, except she's from Magdala, okay? Her name tells us where she's from. However, there is one more important thing that so caught my eye. You know, I threw away 5 sermons this week on the for Resurrection Sunday, and I could not get away from this woman. And I'll tell you why. It's because in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, let me give you this one more important fact about her. It says, and when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to a woman called Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast how many demons? 7 demons. 7 demons. Now listen to me carefully. We're not told how Mary Magdalene opened the door for the powers of darkness, but we are told that Jesus Christ set her free. Amen? And that's what's important for us to see. Now listen, not 1 demon, not 2 demons, but 7 demons. That means she was possessed. 7 is the perfect number of God. It was a perfect possession. In other words, she was ruled and controlled. She was used and abused. She was inhabited and invaded by 7 parasites, parasitic hosts. That's what a demon is. They have to have a host to latch on to. 7 parasites from hell. You know, listen, what kind of life do you think a woman called Mary Magdalene that loved Jesus Christ so much, before she met him, what kind of life do you think she had? Think about that, loved one. I go, oh, God. I mean, listen, she was inhabited by the master of broken lives. Do you understand? The one who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. You know, say this word with me and say it, everyone, broken. What a word. Broken, and that describes Mary's life. Listen, do you know that Jesus came to free people that are broke? Broken inside, broken in their lives. Let me give you the definition of broken. I looked it up. You ready for this? Ruptured, torn, reduced to fragments, injured, damaged, defective, mangled, crushed, demolished, severed, wrecked, ruined, separated, incomplete. And if I know it in Spanish, I think it's roto. Is that right? Thank you. You want me to do German? I can do that one. No, listen. Mary Magdalene's story is my story, is your story, is mankind's story. You know, when Ashley was singing that song, she said, in 4 days, he's been there 4 days in the tomb. Listen, before I was born again, I spent 25 years as a dead man until Christ came into my life. Not 4 days. I wish it only been 4 days. But I was a walking dead man. I was a walking broken dead man, just like you were. Are you following me? Oh, that word broken, outside of Christ. Why is the resurrection so important? His death and resurrection. You can't separate those two. Oh, loved one, listen. It's because outside of Christ, all of mankind, every person, they're broken by sin. They are broken by sin. And that's what God, Jesus died. He came and he died. He was buried. He died for our sins. He rose again on the 3rd day. That's what Scripture teaches. Now listen to me. If a person's arm, let's just look in the natural for a moment. Let's say that I break my humerus. Now I didn't say my humor. My humerus. Now the humerus is located, if I remember, right here. It's from this joint here to the elbow, right? Well, let me ask you a question. If you break your humerus, completely broken, severed, maybe the bone sticking out. Can you use it? Can you use your arm? No, you can't use it. You might say, I really want to use it. You might even say, I desire to use it. Of course you do. You might even say, I will to use it. But you can't use it. Why? It's broken. It's completely broken. And you're in pain. And you want that pain to come to an end. Loved one, listen to me. Why is the resurrection of Jesus so vital today, so important that every person embrace it? It's because every person that has ever been born broken. Do you understand that? Broken. Why? Because of Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, he broke every person that was ever going to be born in all the history of the world. Do you know that? We are in Adam. In Adam all die. In Christ all shall be made alive. Without the resurrection, without Jesus coming out of that tomb on Sunday, this Sunday, 2,000 years ago, loved one, there is absolutely no hope for mankind. There's no absolutely no hope for anyone who is broken. See, I don't know if you know it or not, but I see it all the time. We live in a nation. We live in a world. Would you say the world is filled with broken hearts? I wonder how many people are right now, their hearts are broken. Where is it? In Sri Lanka, wherever those bombs went off on as they were celebrating Easter Sunday. And I think over 200 people, and they were in hotels and churches, they're dead. Why? Because man is broken. How can you come and a young, beautiful young college student calling an Uber driver, gets into the car, and it's not the Uber driver, and takes her out and kills her the same night? Why, mankind? We live in a broken world filled with broken hearts and broken lives, loved one. Listen, I don't know about you, but I see broken moms all the time. I see broken fathers, mothers, marriages, homes. Why? Because only Jesus can mend your brokenness. See, that's why the resurrection is so vital. Listen, here we already have all these broken people and they're living broken lives. And you know what they constantly do? And if you don't know the Lord, listen to me now. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to a believer as well. You constantly, if you're broken, you constantly fill your heart and your lives with things that are broken, that keep you broken. Are you listening? You see, the thing is broken people, they always turn to broken things, and the reason is to mend their brokenness. Brokenness in being, is a horrible thing. But to be made complete in Christ is a miracle. Amen? Listen to some of the scriptures about what it means to be broken. In Proverbs 15:13, it says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22, a broken spirit dries the bones. Psalm 38:8, he cries out, the psalmist says, oh, I am feeble. I am severely broken. Psalm 31:12, he says, I feel like I'm a forgotten dead man. I'm out of my mind. I am like a broken vessel. Proverbs 18:14, who can bear a broken spirit? No one. Jesus came to remove our brokenness, loved one. Not just to die, but to raise again. The resurrection proves, number one, that he is the Son of God. It proves that everything in the Bible is true. Amen? Do you understand? By one single event, man, God proved that everything that was written about our Savior was absolutely true. Everything in God's Word is true. Noah is true. The whale, Jonah and the whale, it's all true. Jesus is coming back. That's true. He might come back today. Praise the Lord for that. But listen, a broken heart or a broken life, listen, here's the problem. There's even Christians, there's so many broken Christians. You shouldn't be. Listen, God wants to, he will fix you. Listen, did you know that a broken heart, are you brokenhearted? Did you know that a broken heart goes wherever you go? Well, I'm going to go over here and take this or do this, and my heart, no, it's not going to help you. Well, I'm going to move to a new state. Will you take your broken heart with you? I'm going to trade in my old husband and get a new husband. Oh, boy. you're still going to have a broken heart. See, wherever you go, it goes because you are broken. It'll never remove your brokenness. There are people today, even believers, broken by drugs, molested, broken down, like hurt, so hurt in their hearts and in their lives, or by relationship after relationship, seeking to find some kind of relief for their brokenness, broken down in their hearts by life. Listen, only the risen Savior can cure you. There is absolutely no other way. See, Jesus is the great physician. Amen. It says in Matthew's Gospel 9:12, Jesus said, hey, those who are well, they don't need a physician, but those who are sick. He says, I desire mercy and sacrifice. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous. Well, there's not any righteous. Amen. He said, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Listen, Jesus, the resurrected, ascended, soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the only cure for man's kind brokenness. You know, listen to what Jesus said in from Corinthians. Listen very carefully. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Let me say it again. Jesus said to his disciples, he says to us, he says to every person in this generation, he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. That word broken is so important. Listen, again, you can't celebrate the resurrection without understanding the cross. Amen? You see, no, have you ever felt unwanted? Broken? Maybe you came from a broken home, you know, or maybe your parents didn't love you. Your mom, your dad. Maybe they were messed up. Maybe they were dysfunctional. I don't know, but I know what it feels like as a child to be unwanted. But you know, for Jesus, the Lord, to come to this planet and to be not only unwelcomed, but to be unwanted. It says, Jesus said in John 1:10, the Baptist did, he said he was in the world, meaning Jesus, and the world was made through him. He's a creator, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, meaning his own nation, his own people, even his own family, and his own did not welcome him, receive him, want him. Everything that was prophesied about Jesus, the Messiah in the old covenant is true, loved one. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 53:3. It says, talking about Jesus, it says, he is despised. He's rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We didn't esteem him. That means we didn't appreciate his worth. When Jesus came, did man appreciate his worth? Did they see any value of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? None at all. Do you know how much God loves you? For God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son. Do you know how much God loves people, loves mankind? He sent his Son, and you know what what God the Father did to Jesus the Son? He broke him. He bruised him. He crushed him. Why? For you. Because we're broken, or we were broken. Amen? No, listen to what he says here. Isaiah says, he says, but he was wounded or pierced for our transgressions, not his. He says, he was bruised. There's that word. He was broken. He was crushed for our iniquities. Our iniquities, loved one, listen to me, broke him. You and I and mankind, you broke God. Think, you hear what I'm saying? We broke him. God wanted, it says, he says, he was bruised our iniquities. He says, oh man, I go, my transgressions, our iniquities. Listen, Jesus didn't die for what he'd done. Jesus was sinless. He died for what we had done. He died because we were broken. And he had to be broken to take away your brokenness. Does that make sense? Oh, I look and I say, oh Lord, I'm no longer a broke man. Jesus said, oh, no, Bill, this is my body, man, it is broken for you. Are you broken? Come to me. That's what the Lord is trying to tell us. Listen, bruised for, he says, listen to this one. Yet it pleased the Lord in Isaiah. It pleased the Lord to crush him, break him, bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When you make his, our Savior, his offering, a sin offering for us. That's God's plan. That was God's will. Jesus took our place. Listen to me now. The cross, the resurrection. God loves everyone so much that God sentences himself to what we should have had. He takes our suffering. I look at all that and I say, oh Lord, how horrific it was what they did to you. Oh, I know today's Resurrection Sunday, but you have to look what they did to him, what we did to him, how horrific it was. See, Jesus said, this is my body. He told the disciples, he tells us, this is my body, boys. It is broken for you. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the shame of the cross. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? Was it the beatings? No, of course not. It was you. It was you. See, you are Jesus' joy. You know, listen to what he says in Isaiah 50, verse 6. He says, Jesus said, I gave. Now, that means of his own volition. I gave my back to those who struck me. That's the scourging. Not only that, I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. Not only that, I didn't hide my face from shame and spitting. You know, I look at that and I say, dear God, that's what we deserved, isn't it? Oh, but now we're complete in Christ. Now we're saved. Now we're sons and daughters of God. Now we're co-heirs with Christ. Jesus is risen from the dead. But it was costly. He had to pay for our brokenness. Some of you are sitting here, you're broken in your lives, you're broken in your marriage, and you know what? You'll continue in your brokenness unless you come to the one who said, this is my body. That's broken for you, meaning all mankind. That's how much God loves us. Now listen to that. I mean, can you imagine ripping out his beard, what they did to him, the soldiers? Ripping his back to pieces? Spitting in his face? Blindfolding him and hitting him in the face? He was like a lamb that was led to slaughter, yet he not opened his mouth. He was silent. He did all that for you and me. But there's this one scripture that I'm going to use that's going to bring it all home, and I want you to see it. Let me read it to you. It's Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, talking about the Messiah, talking about our Lord. Now listen carefully. Just as many were startled or appalled or astonished at you, so his visage, his face, his appearance, the Messiah, was marred more than any man, and his form, meaning his body, his entire body, than the sons of men. One version says, speaking of Jesus on the cross, he did not look human. He was a ruined face, a ruined body, a disfigured person, past recognition. You know, when I read that, I realize that this scripture is 1,000 times deeper, loved one, than what the garrison of Roman soldiers did to Christ. You know how many people are in a garrison, don't you? 600. Pilate turned him over to those hardened, savage, drunken soldiers, 600 of them, and they beat him like he was an animal. That's what Jesus said, my body's going to be broken for you. You understand what I'm saying? So you won't have to be broken. So your lives won't have to be broken. That's what the resurrection, loved one, is all about. You know, I look and I say, oh God, You see, this is deeper than those soldiers doing the things that they did. And if you read Isaiah, and if you put Isaiah, the verse I just quoted, in context, it has to do while Christ our Lord is not there being beaten by the soldiers. It has to do with Christ on the cross from noon to 3 p.m. when Jesus was then, the darkness covered the land, and he was being made the sin of the world. The word astonished, when they looked at him, wagging their heads at our Lord, mocking him. Come down if you be the if you're the Savior, if you're God's Son. Save yourself. They were astonished when they looked at him. They were startled. They were appalled. They said, what is that? That from darkness to 3 p.m., that noon to the 3 p.m., the darkness that came. Listen, Jesus said, this is my body, and it is broken for you. Loved one, now listen to me. The reason that they were so astonished, the reason that they were so startled, is because when they beheld him at 3 p.m., and they looked at him after he had been made or bore the sin of the world, the whole world, all humanity, every sin that is, amen? Do you understand? It wasn't just our sins, it was the sins of the world. And what happened from noon to 3 p.m.? Jesus, for the first time ever, the sinless, spotless, sonless, a son of the living God, what happened to him? For the first time, he felt, he didn't sin, he felt what sin was, what hate was, what drunkenness was, pornography, child molestation, brokenness. He felt all of it. Every lie, not one lie, every lie that has ever been told for all time. Our sin, as his body was being broken for you, for me, was so marred that it was past recognition. That's what the Word of God teaches. And it was your sin, my sin, the sin of the world that did that. Loved one, listen, we are here this morning to celebrate the greatest event in the history of mankind. Jesus is alive. And you know why we can celebrate? It's because the Bible said this, that God laid upon him all of our iniquities. The Bible says that God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God treated Jesus as if he sinned all the sins of all time in all the world. No wonder, we know that Jesus took our place, amen? Yes, listen, whenever Jesus cried out, Eli, or whatever it was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's from Psalm 22, Messianic Psalm. That was the only time that Jesus ever called God, God. He never called him that. He always said, Father, my Father. Why did Jesus say, my God, why have you broken fellowship with me? Did you hear that? Forsaken. For the first time ever, God, no. That's been made sin. He couldn't look. When Jesus said, my God, that is the title for a sinner. That's our cry from the cross. Why? He was broken for you. He was broken for me. Do you understand? That's the cry of an orphan from the cross. He said, oh God, where are you? Why did you become my judge? Are you listening to me? Boy, I listen to that and I say, oh, Lord, Jesus said, this is my body that is broken for you. Why is the cross and the resurrection so important? Let me ask you a question. There he is. He's been made the sin of all mankind, paid the sin debt of the world. What do they do? At 3 p.m., you know, they take him down, Joseph of Arimathea, and they take him to a tomb that no man had ever laid, no ever been in. Now listen, there is this, the sin. There's our Lord who paid it all. Now they take him, and they put him in the tomb. Listen to me now. Jesus has taken our sin. Where? He took it to the grave. Are you listening to me? He took it with him to the tomb. See, Passover is the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb who takes away all the sins of the world. That's Passover. Jesus, that evening, he was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. No sin at all. No, in other words, he was a spotless, sinless Son of God. But he's going to rise again on Sunday, which is first fruits. You could say it this way. That was for our justification, for our sanctification, and for our future glorification. Did you get that? Jesus fulfilled every one of those feasts in those 3 days. Oh, listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, man. See, the resurrection means that our sin debt, our brokenness, has been paid. 1 John 3:5. And we know that he was manifested to take away the sin of the world. And yet he was without sin. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103:12 that our sin has been taken as far as the east is from the west. But he had to rise from the dead, amen? Or it would not have happened. The cross would have been then meaningless, loved one. No, if you're in Christ, you know what it means? Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Boy, he's paid every bit of it. Listen to me now. I know this morning, those that are listening live, you that are sitting here, none of our lives are perfect. And we go through trials, all of us. But if you're sitting there and you're broken, maybe life has mutilated you. Boy, life can. But Jesus said, you know what? You're not damaged goods. He said, are you broken? I mean, you know, I'm not going to throw you out. Jesus doesn't throw, the world does. You're broken. You don't, can't you? You know what I mean? I mean, if I grabbed Ashley's guitar and broke into 1,000 pieces, would you want it? No, but it would be cool like it is. So the world doesn't broken things. And if you break your dinner plate, it goes into 1,000 pieces. You don't go, well, I'm going to put that back together, man, because that's so important to me. I have to have it. No, you throw it in the trash. You don't do that. Loved one, now listen to me. No one buys broken things. No one purchases broken things except one person. Jesus. If you're broken, he said, I want you. You know what it says about Jesus in Matthew 12:20? It says, a bruised reed. That means a broken, they made flutes, okay, out of the water, the reeds that were in the water. If it was bruised, they'd throw it away. It was no good. Jesus, speaking about Christ, he says, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering flax he will not quench till he sends forth justice to victory. This is not speaking about musical instruments, loved one. It's speaking about people. Listen, this is speaking about a broken, bruised people whose life is just about to be snuffed out. They're a dying flame. They're a dying ember. I'm going to tell you something. Do you feel like you're damaged goods? Bill, you don't know what my life is so messed up. My marriage is so messed up. I'm cheating on my husband. He's cheating on me. I live a lie. I come to church, but I live a lie. Or it's my first time to ever be in church, and I'm out there, and I am broken. I'm a broken person. Well, listen, why don't you come to Jesus? His specialty is broken people, for he was broken for you, amen? Oh, listen, did you know that Jesus collects broken people? I'm one of them. Yes, you're looking at a former broken person. sitting there. You know, I don't need to go through my born-again experience there on the beach with a cold Falstaff beer in my hand and a cigarette. You know, they still make Falstaff. That hippie walked up. You look like you're looking for the truth. I said, what is truth? He said, hold my hand. Pray with me. I didn't have a clue who Jesus was. I was just a broken person on the beach at 6 a.m. watching the sun come up. But I'm not broken now. Loved one, listen. Jesus collects broken people. See, the cross shows you the price he paid for sin, the brokenness of people. But the resurrection, oh, loved one, it proves that our sin, our brokenness has been paid for. If you don't know the Lord, listen to me. Or maybe you're a believer, listen to me carefully. Please don't remain broken. And if you don't know Christ, listen to me now. I beg you not to remain broken for all eternity, because I'll tell you, there is no cure for brokenness in hell. There's no remedy there at all. See, you have to be translated out of a broken world. You see, when you're born again, you're no longer of this world. The Bible says that, you know, that you have been, if you come to Christ, it says you've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his Son. You become a citizen of another world called heaven. No tears there, no brokenness there. You understand? That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus came. And you know what? You got to get out of the Adams family. That's the truth. You got to get over into Christ's family. That's the body of Christ. You got to get out of Adam's body. Because in Adam, all die. And in Christ, all will be made alive. No, listen. Yes, Jesus is alive. Did you know? Yes. Not only is he alive, he's here right now. Oh, and I'm so thankful. I know that. Listen, those who deny, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you listening live. Those who deny the miracle of the resurrection, it forces you to do something. It forces you to deny the miracle of the new birth. Now listen to me carefully. The new birth. If you, a person that is broken, dead in trespasses and sins, they don't know they're dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead. They have no spiritual life. They're not born again. Now listen. You cannot be repaired. God does not repair people. Do you understand? You can't, no, there's no repair for a broken person. You have to be another person. You have to be born from above. You have to be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, is therefore those who are in Christ Jesus, new creation, behold, all things have passed away. All things become new, and you will never be broken again. Why? Because Jesus said, this is my body. It's already broken for you. I've already paid that price. Now I'm going to make you complete in me. I'm going to fill you with my power. I'm going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to be with me forever and ever and ever and ever. Is your life broken? Is your marriage broken? Is your home broken? Is your heart broken? Why don't you come to the Lord? Why don't you come to him, the one who is broken for you? I tell you that if you don't, this may be your last opportunity. And not only that, if you don't come right now in your heart, you know what's going to happen? You're going to regret it for all eternity. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this day as every head is bowed and every Christian is praying, oh God, and crying out to the throne of grace. If you're here this morning, Jesus Christ is not your Lord. I love you. He loves you, but you're broken. You're broken. And you're trying to find ways to mend your life and it's not working. You're still living in the same old rut. He says, you come to me. For I was broken for you. If that's you, you don't even have to get out of your chair. You don't even have to come to this altar. But here's what you have to do. You have to lift your hand to the heavens and to Jesus and say, Jesus, that's me. My life is broken. And I don't want it to be broken anymore. My marriage is broken or whatever it might be. And just lift your hand high and then put it right back down and say, Bill, that's me. Quickly, in the name of Jesus, if that's you, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Well, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I know in my heart that there are those here. They're broken. I beg them in Jesus' name not to resist the pleading of the Holy Spirit of God. If that's you, again, my last call, I'll not ask again. Say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I don't want to be broken anymore. God bless you, that's right. God bless you, that's right. Anyone else say, Bill, come on, that's me. God bless you, I saw that. Yes, yes, God bless you. Oh, God bless you too. Yes, God bless you. See, the Spirit of the Lord is moving now. Let him have his way. If that's you, lift your hand now. Get it over with. He'll touch you right now. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Those of you who prayed or lifted your hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. You that are listening live, you do the very same thing. Church, help me. Say, Father, today, my brokenness is going away. For Jesus was broken for me. So right now, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. Be my Lord. Take away my brokenness. And I believe that God raise Jesus from the dead. You promised in your word, if I would believe those things, you would save me. You would remove my brokenness. You would make all things new. I believe. And right now, I am totally saved. Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Now, those that lifted your hands, listen to me. We're going to sing a song. We're going to close out. And after the song is over, please come to this altar. There's a booklet here called Welcome to the Family of God. It's absolutely free. They just want to give it to you. Or maybe, you know what, you didn't lift your hand. There's going to be pastors down here. And you know what? You're saying, my marriage is in trouble. My life is in trouble. I'm broken because of pornography, or I'm broken because of marriage. I'm broken. You get down here. Jesus will take your brokenness away. God doesn't lie. Amen. You that are listening live, listen, if you prayed that prayer, email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address, and that booklet will be mailed out to you first thing in the morning. I'm very thankful for you. I love you dearly. If you're a first-time visitor, I'm going to be departing over to the main lobby. There's a welcome center there. They have an incredible, unbelievable Easter egg for you. No. Free gift that they'd love to give you, and I'd love to meet you as well, or anyone that comes by. He's risen, amen. And you, don't ever say you're broken if you're in Christ. Don't ever let that lie come into your heart. In Jesus' name, I love you. Let's sing to the Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He And I love him so. And I love him so. And I love him so. He's so good to me.
Oh, we love you, church. May the Lord be with you this week. God bless you.